But I want you to turn with me this morning, please, to Luke's Gospel, and we're turning to chapter 14. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. And as you're finding the place, I want to thank my good friend Alan Carson for welcoming me to the pulpit this morning, and to thank your pastor for his invitation. He and I have done a pulpit swap this morning, and it's lovely to be back again in Lurgan. Tell me, Lisa, are you fired up for the mission? Are you fired up for the mission? That's good. Because I know you've been praying much and you've put a lot of work into this. But you know, let's look to the Lord. I'm looking to the Lord and we're looking to Him. Don't be looking to George McConnell for goodness sake. Don't be looking to me. Look to the Lord. Because salvation is of the Lord. And as we go together into this mission, let's go in with believing hearts that the Lord's going to move in a mighty and in a powerful way. Well, the Lord wants to speak to us this morning, child of God. And He wants to speak to us from the Gospel of Luke chapter 14. And we're commencing to read from verse 15. Luke chapter 14 and verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with Him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And so that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done, as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that there is none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And we know that the Lord will add His blessing to the reading of His own precious truth. Oftentimes throughout the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ when He spoke, when the Lord Jesus Christ when He taught, when the Lord Jesus Christ preached, He preached just in a simple. He preached just in a sincere. He preached in such a straightforward, clear-cut way that people could understand Him. When the Lord Jesus Christ preached, He didn't use highfalutin theology that you could neither make head nor tail of it, as they do nowadays. Because some of the theology they're used nowadays is only caudology anyway. But when the Lord Jesus preached, the Lord Jesus preached the people's language, didn't He? He preached on the people's level. People could understand. They knew they could actually understand what the Lord Jesus was preaching about. When the Lord Jesus preached, you know, He just used the everyday things in life. He used the parables. He used everything in such a way that so that the people could understand the meaning behind the message. Do you remember the day when He stood before the great multitude, and He said to the multitude, What manner of man among you, having 100 sheep, doth not loses one, doth not leave the 99, and goeth after that which is lost till he find it? Now listen, there's nothing super great about that. There's nothing super or hard to understand about that story. Sure there's not. Of course, there's the story of the lost sheep. In that picture, we see the lost sheep wild and alone in the mountains, wild and bare, far from the shepherd's tender care. And there in that picture, the Lord Jesus paints for us the picture of the lost sheep. And my dear unsaved friend this morning, that's the picture of you. You're lost this morning. You're on your own. You're perishing. And I pray this morning you'll get the grasp of that, because friend, that's where you are. You're perishing. But in that parable, there's not only the picture of the lost sheep. Glory to God, there's the picture of the loving shepherd. The loving shepherd who goes to all lengths and goes to every stretch of the way to seek and to save that lost sheep. That's how the Lord Jesus preached anyway. He preached in a lingo that people could understand him. And so we come this morning to one of these great parables that the Lord Jesus used. Here this morning we have the parable of the Great Supper. And here the Lord Jesus paints a great picture. He paints a wonderful picture because in this parable, we have a man this morning and he puts on this great supper. No expense is spared. A great cost has been involved. And in this parable, we see him handing out the invitations to his servants. And he says, now go out into everywhere you can find people and compel them to come in. It's a twofold parable. It's a parable this morning that has great punch behind it. And it's a parable this morning with great power behind it. It's a twofold parable because it talks this morning of the excuses of sinners. First of all, it talks about the excuses of sinners. The servant comes to the first boy and says, hey, listen, my master has put on a great feast. You're more than welcome to come. You're invited to come. Well, I'm sorry, I can't go because I bought a piece of ground and I haven't seen it yet. Now, friend, what man on this side of the River Bann would buy ground without seeing it? No, wouldn't buy it until they farmed it for 3 or 4 years to make sure it was good enough. And he says, pray me now that you have me excused. And then he comes to the second one. Comes to this boy. He sees if he finds his mummy boy in the street. He says, hey boy, come here a minute. My master has put on a great spread, a great supper. Listen, you're invited to come. Will you come? I can't come, he says. I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I haven't yet proved them. Is there any farmer I know in Lurgan would buy a Davy Brown tractor without even turning the key in her? Not at all. And he makes this, he says, pray, have me excused. And then he comes to the third fellow. Sees this other fellow, says, hey boy, come here a minute. There's a wee invitation for you. We have a great supper. My master's a great supper. And you're more than free to come. And he says, I can't come. I've married a wife. I can sort of sympathize with him. I just can't see where Tracy is, but I know I ain't going to get it when I go home. But these are lame excuses. Tell me something, sinner friend, this morning. Christ has died for you in Calvary's cross. He suffered, he bled, he died, and for years you've been called, you've been invited, you have been pleaded with to come and put your trust in him. The question is, what's your excuse? Come on now, let's sit up this morning. What's your excuse of not trusting the Savior? Because I tell you something, friend. Do you know what we read in this parable? Verse 21, so that servant came and showed the Lord these things. And look what it says. Then the master of the house being angry. Now you listen to me now, sinner friend. Don't you think it's a light thing. Don't you think it's a light thing. A light thing. To reject the Savior. Don't you think it's a light thing this morning to reject the Savior who God delivered into the hands of wicked men to be crucified, to be slain on Calvary's cross so that your soul could be saved? I want to bring before you just now one verse. It's in Hebrews 10 verse 31. It says this, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Do you see if you die unsaved, love? Do you see if you die unsaved, sir? You will fall into the hands of an angry God. Jonathan Edwards, the famous preacher of a bygone day, preached a sermon entitled, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And my friend this evening, can I just ask you? God loves you so much. So much. No expense was spared when he sent his only begotten son into this world to suffer, to bleed, and to die on an old rugged cross so that guilty sinners such as you and I this morning could be wonderfully, gloriously saved. Your excuse doesn't stand, love. And your excuse doesn't stand either, sir. The master of the house being angry. But you'll find my text this morning from verse 33 because it's not only a parable that speaks this morning on the excuses of sinners. It's this parable this morning that speaks of exhortations to saints. Because in verse 23, here's my text. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out of the highways and hedges. And here's the text. And compel them to come in. Dear child of God, that's the text for this morning meeting. Compel them to come in. To compel them to come in. First of all, I want you to notice the urgency of the text. There's the urgency of the text. Because it says, go out quickly. Go out quickly. Dear child of God this morning, listen to me. What are you doing this morning? What are you doing this morning to bring and to compel sinners to come under the sound of the gospel? Go out quickly because there's no time to waste. The master of the house knew there was no time to squander. Go out. That's the plan. Too many of us maybe sit in prayer meetings and we say, Lord, Lord, you bring them in. My friend, that's not scripture. Go out. That's the plan. Compel. That's the purpose. Them. That's the people. And then to come in, that's the plea. And here the master of the house is commissioning the servant to go out quickly because it's supper time. Friend, it's not breakfast time. It's not dinner time. It's supper time. And you know as well as I do, child of God, supper time is at the close of the day. Listen, child of God. Listen, we are in the supper time of life. We are in the supper time of, as far as the day of grace is concerned. I can tell you this day of grace is fast coming to a close. And God wants to say to you and I this morning, go out quickly, because the night cometh when no man can work. You see, child of God, listen, the responsibility doesn't only lie in the pulpit. Do you get that? The responsibility doesn't only lie in the pulpit, the responsibility lies on the pew as well. I want to ask you a wee question now. In the past 12 months, you the Christian, you the blood-bought, you the saved by God's grace, answer me this question. Over the last 12 months, how many sinners have you sought or invited in to your gospel meeting? How many? Because my friend this evening, if you haven't asked one, if you haven't asked one within 12 months, friend, we shall be ashamed of ourselves. I said in our own pulpit one Sunday morning as well, when I look down over my congregation on a Sunday night, I wonder who I'm preaching to. Because it's a hard thing to preach the gospel to the converted. And listen, I'm not coming to Lurgan to flog a dead horse. I want you, the people, to go out quickly, and to compel them to come in. Compel them. You know, my friend, this evening, you don't know. You don't know this morning. The very person that you may bring in could be the very person that could be saved. You know, Derek Loney's the local Nissan dealer in Auchnacloy. I have told him before, and I said, I deserve a free car for it. I have advertised you in nearly every church I've preached in. But Derek Loney used to ask me, and he used to invite me to go to this mission, and about six or seven times I rattled off every excuse under the sun. But he was like a politician, he never gave up, he sickened me. And he went on and on and on and on, listen to me, child of God, until I had no excuses left. And I went to get him off me back. That was it. I went to get him off me back. And then Noel Beattie, Mark Beattie, Norman Marshall and me, the four of us worked in Loans at the time, and we headed off in a wee Vauxhall Chevette because Derek Loans sickened us. And I thank God he sickened us. And we all headed off to keep in with the boss, you know, we couldn't do anything else. You want to know something? That night, Mark Beattie got saved. Noel Beattie, his twin brother, got saved. Norman Marshall got saved. That was Thursday night. And on the Monday night, I got saved. And Mark Beattie's daughter sang for me the other Sunday night ago. And every one of us are going on for the Lord. I can tell you, 28 years ago, I never would have dreamt being in a church preaching the gospel. But you know, friend, I thank God for Derek Loan. Listen, go out quickly. There's an urgency in the text. But look at the community around the text. The community around the text. He says, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Look at verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. I want to tell you something, friend. Nobody wants to be missed. Do you see this gospel mission? Nobody, nowhere is to be missed. Do you get that? Catholics, Protestants, black, white, nowhere. Nowhere is to be missed. You want to know someone, child of God? Listen, when this man commissioned the service, he says, listen to him, I don't want you to miss anybody. Do you see the lame? Do you see the blind? Do you see the down and outs? Bring them in, he says. I can tell you, God is not willing in these days that any should perish. One of my sermons for the mission is, does God love everybody of every religion? Yes, of every religion. The answer is yes. Yes. And you know, friend, here we have this morning, and here we have this community around the text. I can tell you, friend, God loves everybody. God's love knows no boundaries. I remember one, it was April 2011, I conducted a mission in Shankill Baptist Church in Tennant Street. And I remember saying to the folks there that night, it was out of me, I sort of sometimes say things, and it's out of me before I can get it back in again. And I said to them down that day, I says, listen folks, God loves the sinners on the Falls Road as he does in the Shankill Road. And I sort of put my hands over my knees when I said that. But to my shock and to my surprise, well, it wasn't really to my surprise, I got an amen and a hallelujah. Do you want to know why, friends? Because God loves the Catholic folk in this country as much as anybody else. And don't tell me he doesn't. And I hope this morning you have been in North Street. And I hope you have been in Lake Street. And I hope this morning you have been in Kilwilkie to tell them that there's good news for them folks. Because if you haven't, I'll take a handful of invitations with you someday and we'll go out and we'll go out together. God's not willing that any should perish. Friends, God love knows no boundaries. There's the community around the text. Listen, all are welcome this morning. And I don't care. Listen, here's another thing. I don't care how they come. I don't care how the sinners come. I don't care whether they come in jeans. I don't care whether they come in t-shirts. I don't care whether they come pierced with drawn pins or safety pins. I'm telling you now, Christ died for them people. And don't laugh. Because Christ died for them. And don't ever turn your nose down to sinners because there go any of us but for the grace of God. Will you agree with me on that? You know, friends, this morning, listen to me. There's a community around this text. The servant wasn't told to go into another city. The servant wasn't told to go into another country. The servant was told to go into the community. And wherever you can find them, bring them in. Are you burdened for the lost? What about your loved one, child of God, this morning? What about your loved one? It's too late, you know. It's too late to be concerned about their never-dying soul when you're staring at their cold face in the coffin. It's too late to be concerned. This gospel mission may be their last opportunity. And you this morning may be that link in the chain that's going to bring them to Christ. Many, many years ago. Many years ago, a godly woman lived in Hillsborough. But over this weekend, as she got down to pray, the name of her long school friend came into her mind and her face. Every time she got down to pray, all she could think of was this long ago school friend that she used to be friendly at school with. She couldn't understand why this girl's face was coming before her mind. She couldn't understand why this name was being pressed heavy upon her heart. On the Monday morning, she opened the scriptures randomly to get down to pray, like any other morning. And her Bible opened at 2 Kings, chapter 4 and verse 26. Do you know what 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 26 says? It says, "Run now, I pray thee. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her. And say unto her, is it well with thee?" She said in her own words, there was never a verse of scripture weighed more heavily upon her heart than that one. Because you see, there was that sense of urgency. Run now, I pray thee. And meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? And as she began to think about that question, she says, well, I can't go today because I have to go to the airport and have plans made for tomorrow. I'll go on Wednesday. Her friend lived in Helens Bay. Her friends lived in Helens Bay. So on Friday afternoon, she left home and went to Helens Bay. She found out where she lived and she got to the very estate. But she noticed an awful lot of cars parked outside the estate, and she was walking into the estate. And there was a funeral coming down the estate. And as she made her way into the estate, she happened to ask someone, what house did such and such live in? She says, maybe you don't know, dear. This is her funeral. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her. You may be planning to bring somebody next week. Listen to me, the meeting's here next week. And I can tell you something now, my dear friends, child of God, each and every one of us has an awesome responsibility to go into the community where God has placed us and seek to bring sinners in under the sound of the gospel. It thrills my heart, you know. It thrills my heart to know that there's a group of people in this church, who go down to the Ashbourne, the Ashbourne, on a Saturday night to share the good news with the folk that's coming out of there. And I hope you as a church are supporting them. Because I'll tell you now, it takes guts to go down there. Now that's going into the highways and byways. That's going into the hedges and the lanes. All may live because Christ has died. But I want to finish with this one, the necessity of the text, because it says that my house may be filled. You know, behind this powerful demand, there's a personal desire that my house may be filled. Do you know something this morning, my dear child of God? Doesn't matter who a man is. Doesn't matter what a man is. And it doesn't matter where a man is, he deserves to be reached with the gospel. The necessity of the text is that my house might be filled. And I want to say something this morning, child of God. God knows your heart. And God knows my heart, child of God. And God knows this morning the effort that you're putting in. God knows it. And I trust, child of God, will you do a wee thing for me? Will you get down on your knees at dinner time or after time today and ask the Lord to place at least 6 people upon your heart and pray over them 6 people and seek to bring those 6 people into this gospel mission? Listen, that's what a mission's all about. A mission's not all about a man preaching. A mission's all about God's people reaching. And thank God this morning a mission. It's not all about a man preaching. And it's not all about people reaching. It's all about him saving. That's what mission's all about. But you know, friend, this morning, the text says, go out quickly. It's supper time. The day is far spent. And child of God, this morning, you, like myself, have loved ones. You, like myself, have relatives. You, like myself, have neighbours. And listen, do you see if they're not reached? Do you see if they're not won? They're lost. They're in the fires of hell for all of eternity. Sometimes we all stand on the ground and say, oh, we are evangelicals. We are evangelicals. But we're far from being evangelistic. Right or wrong? I'm a King James man myself. I'm a blood man myself. But that's no good if I'm not evangelistic. Now listen, as we this morning go into this mission together, if you don't have a burden for the lost, for goodness sake, will you get on your knees and ask the Lord to give you a burden? That together, you and I, together, we'll see many souls come to Christ. And that years to come, if the Lord tarries now, in years to come, many will drive down that cottage road and look over to their right and say, that's where it happened for me. I thank God the night I was brought to the Church of Ireland Hall in my own church. Because that's where it happened for me. In every funeral, there's a wee drop of tea afterwards, and I don't like missing the tea after a funeral. I love a wee drop of tea. And every time I go into that church hall, I always go to the spot where I got saved. And think, here it was where it happened for me. Now listen, child of God. Let's pray. And let's get out about the Lord's business. And see that we miss nobody. Because we've got great news to tell. 2 words tells it. Jesus saves. And may we see a mighty harvest wrought in the days to come. Go out quickly. Compel them to come in. Let's burn a wee word of prayer together, please. Our Father, at the very outset of this gospel mission that lies before us, Lord, go before us. Lord, go with us. And Lord, burden us. Ah, Lord, will you forgive us for us being so lax? Will you forgive us, Lord, for being not concerned? Because, Lord, you know our hearts.
And Lord, this morning we pray at the very outset now, Lord, burden us, we pray, to go out and to compel sinners to come in. And Lord, we pray that you will save, not for our asking, Lord, but save for thy glory. For it's through our Saviour's wonderful, beautiful, lovely name we pray. Amen. And amen. 541 is our closing hymn.